Want to try a free sample of berry pie?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, will this send me spiraling out of my routine? Time to consult the online experts.
Hi, Felicia here with 1 million followers. That bite will destroy your metabolism.
Is it really that bad? I had protein this morning. Ugh, but it looks so good.
Only eat after walking 10,000 steps.
Pie is only 2 steps from here. Am I overthinking again? Oh, the kids would really love this.
Insulin sensitivity.
Always
Stop it.
They don't know your body, only you do. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at cygnos.com. That's Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
Did you know you can save up to 70% on the best brands just by shopping at FromRebel.com? We're talking about strollers, car seats, high chairs, espresso machines, cookware, everything you need for way less. Here's how it works. Every single day, Rebel drops thousands of new products on the site for up to 70% off. It is a constant stream of endless deals from top brands like Upa Baby, Nuna, Baby Bjorn, Breville, Nespresso, KitchenAid, Le Creuset, and more. But you have to act fast because every deal is one of a kind. So if you see something you love, make sure you add to cart fast. So stop paying full price when you don't have to. Whether it's baby gear, kitchen upgrades, or a treasure for your home you didn't know you needed, Rebel has it for way less, up to 70% less. Shop from Rebel.com and save big.
You're listening to Hit the Bell with Matias Burbell on the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Hello, everybody! Welcome to Hit the Bell with me, Matias Burbell. Another episode, another volume. We're ready to chop it up and get down because this past weekend we had a lot of things happening in the world of MMA. Holly Holm goes down. After a dominant start, she gets choked out in round number 2. Back to the drawing board, but she definitely looked devastated as they were reading the final scorecard where she got submitted. Maria Buena Silva, submission, not via knee bar. How many people thought she would win this fight? If she was to win this fight, people thought she would win via knee bar, via submission. She wins via submission. Wow. Incredible stuff from Maria Buena Silva. Other news around the MMA world, Umar Nurmagomedov, who was slated to fight Corey Sandhagen at UFC Nashville, he has bowed out with an injury. We just found this out yesterday. So no Nurmagomedov. Sandhagen was searching for an opponent, and the opponent has showed up. Rob Font will be fighting Corey Sandhagen at catchweight at 140. And that means Song Yadong will not be fighting Rob Font at UFC Boston, UFC 292. They were scheduled to fight. Song Yadong came out yesterday and bowed out with an undisclosed personal reason for not fighting this fight. It's not due to injury. It's undisclosed reasoning. So Song Yadong will not be fighting Rob Font. Rob Font steps up to fight Corey Sandhagen at UFC Nashville. That's right. Sandhagen gets a fight. Is this the right move? I'm going to say hell yeah. Well, you know what? Sean Strickland just got the title fight against Israel Adesanya. This ties in with Corey Sandhagen. Corey Sandhagen, why is he taking this fight? He's taking this fight so he could get a badass win and he could maybe get a title shot. Why does Sean Strickland take the Abus Magomedov fight at UFC Vegas, 3 weeks ago? The answer's simple, to kick his ass and hopefully throw him into that title fight. And that's exactly what happened. Sean Strickland wins that fight, second round, finishes Abus Magomedov. You know what? Now he gets the title shot. Doesn't matter how he gets it. Doesn't matter if it's sloppy seconds. Doesn't matter what and this and who. Who cares? He gets the title shot. Sean Strickland, Israel Adesanya, for the middleweight championship belt of the world. Sean Strickland gets his shot. Would Sean Strickland have gotten that shot if he didn't fight Abus Magomedov? I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think he would have gotten that title shot. I think he would. They would ask him to go fight somebody to get this fight. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he does get the title fight. You know what I mean? We'll never know. But at the end of the day, him whooping that ass over Magomedov stapled himself to this fight if Drake is bowed out. Then that's the story. So I'm thinking Sanhagen needs to do the same thing. He needs to go out there and starch Rob Font. He needs to destroy Rob Font. Flying knee, whatever, elbow to the head, a cut, finish the fight. Doesn't matter how you finish it, finish the fight. Corey Sanhagen will be fighting for the bantamweight championship belt of the world very, very soon if he does that at UFC Nashville. All right, guys. Big guest coming up on the show today. Eric Jackman, the social media director at MMAfighting.com, formerly with the MMA Hour with Ariel Helwani. He jumps on with us right after this. We're going to break down all the news around the MMA landscape. He's going to give us his best bets for UFC London coming up this weekend. And then we're going to go rapid fire with Eric, and we're going to get his early preview picks for UFC 291. So stay tuned. And also, Puna Helle Soriano, UFC middleweight, jumps in with me. We're going to chop it up, and we're going to talk about the injury that took him out of his fight. At
Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
UFC Jacksonville during fight week. That's right. So we're going to catch up with Puna, all that and more on Hit the Bell with me, Matias Burbell.
You're listening to Hit the Bell with Matias Burbell on the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Work it, make it, do it. Makes us harder, better, faster, stronger. That's how long I've been on ya.
You're listening to Hit the Bell with Matias Burbell on the Sports Grid Radio Network.
What's up, my fight fans? Welcome back to Hit the Bell with me, Matias Burbell. Another episode lined up with some fire, because Eric Jackman, aka New York Rick, is on with us. You can find Eric. He is a social media director at MMAfighting.com. He was a former producer of the Ariel Helwani Show, the MMA Hour, also the social media director at ESPN, the MMA site. He's done it all. He knows all about the world of MMA, and it is an honor to have him on with me today, man. What's up, Eric? Welcome back, brother.
Matias, thank you so much for having me back. It's a pleasure to hear from you again. And yeah, I feel like a lot is happening and changed in the MMA world. So I'm excited to talk about it.
Oh, absolutely, man. There's always things to talk about when it comes to MMA, right? It seems like the MMA news hour never goes to sleep. You know, yesterday we got the news with Israel Adesanya, and then literally what breaking news as we're doing this interview. Now we get to find out that Corey Sanhagen has a new opponent for UFC Nashville. Umar Nurmagomedov bowed out yesterday with an undisclosed injury. You know, he is out of his fight for Sanhagen. Nurmagomedov is out. Yeah. After all the news about why Corey Sanhagen is taking this fight against Nurmagomedov, well, turns out it's not actually happening. And now he is fighting Rob Font at catchweight. People might be asking, is it Rob Font fighting Song Yadong at UFC Boston? Well, not anymore, because Song Yadong is out for undisclosed reasons. So now Rob Font fights Corey Sanhagen at UFC Nashville. What do you think of this news, Eric? Crazy stuff.
Yeah, it's crazy news. I will admit, I was a little more intrigued about the Umar fight just because I kind of wanted to see where he was at. He was rising up the rankings quickly. I thought that was a fun fight, and Corey was the perfect kind of game opponent. But from Corey's perspective, he was going to fight in the UFC rankings number 11 in Umar. Now he's fighting number 7 in Rob Font. So I think it might work out nicely for him from that perspective. He doesn't have to fight as far down. It's a solid win against a guy who's a contender. And now he can look up at potentially a title shot after this. So might work out even better for Corey Sanhagen, even though stylistically I would have been more intrigued by the other fight. I think this will still be a pretty great fight for Nashville.
Oh, no, it's a great fight for Nashville because I think Sanhagen just fights in it. If Sanhagen is fighting in it, that means it's going to be fireworks, man. He's an explosive fighter, likes to finish fights, brings a fight to his opponent all the time. I think Sanhagen right now is looking at the situation, not caring who he fights. He doesn't care who he fights. He could fight Nurmagomedov. He could fight Font. I think he thinks he wins this fight right now in whatever manner he wants to win this fight in. He's going to get the next title shot. And I think this leads us into the next segment with Sean Strickland, man. It reminds me of Sean Strickland fighting Abus Magomedov, right? Look at Abus. You know, he didn't need to fight Abus. Why would he fight Abus? He was doing the UFC a favor. He whoops that ass like he did inside two rounds. It's over. Made it look easy. And now Strickland is fighting, well, supposedly, that's the news. That's what's supposed to happen. Is going to be fighting Israel Adesanya. It's in Sydney for the UFC middleweight championship belt of the world. Sure. Is it kind of sloppy seconds due to the fact that Dricus du Plessis said yesterday that he is actually came into that fight with Whitaker with an injury, so that's why he will not be able to fight Izzy on time. So they gave it to Sean Strickland instead. Whatever, man. Championship fights, doesn't matter how they come around, championship fights are championship fights. But do you kind of see the Sanhagen-Strickland thing in the same way as I do, where it doesn't matter who you fight, you win this main event spot, you win this main event fight, and you're probably most likely going to get a title shot next?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely see the path there for Strickland. It's worth noting that, you know, what we've got right now is Israel Adesanya going to his social media handles and saying basically Dricus is not going to be ready. He dropped the ball, and he wants Sean Strickland. And I think the UFC is probably on board with that. Sean Strickland is somebody who's been known to take fights on short notice, so I don't think he'll need much more time than this to prepare. And it really comes down to the fact that Israel Adesanya is the one that they have to headline the Sydney card, right? Like, Alex Volkanovski is not going to be able to turn around in time. Robert Whittaker just lost to Dricus du Plessis. Israel's the guy that's standing there that is going to be the pay-per-view headliner, and they need him to fight on that night. So next man up. If Dricus can't go, Sean Strickland's there. If Sean Strickland can't take it, I'm sure they'll find somebody else to fill in. So it's really the Israel Adesanya show at this point. I know he wanted Dricus du Plessis, but from Dricus's perspective, with the win that he got over Whitaker and the aftermath where Israel Adesanya comes into the cage, it's at the point where he probably doesn't have to rush himself back into this title shot. And if he just waits, he will still probably get the next shot after this title fight. So he did himself a good service at UFC 290. Israel Adesanya kind of helped him a little bit to ensure that he's next. And for now, we get Sean Strickland versus Israel Adesanya if they can dot the I's and cross the T's.
We are talking to Eric Jackman. You could follow him on Twitter at New York Rick. And also, he is the social media director at MMAfighting.com. We are chatting about the UFC and all the moves that are going on in the last 2 days with Sean Strickland. Most likely now being the possible opponent to Israel Adesanya at UFC Sydney because Dricus du Plessis is out. You know, it's all fun news when we figure out who's getting the title shot and the fight that's going to be made. But do you think he's going to beat him? Do you think he has a chance? Because thinking about what Pereira said about Strickland prior to the fight, that's one of the scariest guys he's ever fought. That's what Pereira said, because he has a switch. He's fun in games. He's Sean Strickland. He's saying the dumbest things in the world. You know, once the cage doors close, there's a look that Sean Strickland has that he's never seen before. Do you think this is the same type of Sean Strickland we get in that Adesanya fight? Do you think he could actually win this fight?
Unfortunately, I feel like stylistically, this is a very bad fight for Sean Strickland. Like, Israel Adesanya is probably one of the worst stylistic matchups that he could get. The one thing I'll say that slightly changes my opinion on that, not that I think he'll win, but he has been training with Alex Pereira, who is somebody that knows how to beat Israel Adesanya. So there's a lot worse people you could train with and lessons to be learned from somebody like Alex, who can teach you what he was able to do to be successful against Israel. But ultimately, at the end of the day, it's not Alex walking into the cage. It's going to be Sean Strickland. And I just think stylistically, if it becomes a kickboxing fight, where Sean Strickland is kind of flat on his feet and kickboxing with Israel Adesanya, he's probably going to lose that fight. So I don't like his chances, but I do think he's doing the right things in order to prepare himself for it.
Do you consider Israel Adesanya the best middleweight to ever live? Do you have him over Anderson Silva?
Oh, that's a crazy, interesting question.
It's debatable. You know what I mean? It's debatable. There's no wrong answer. It's like, who do you like better, Michael Jordan or LeBron James? You know what I mean? It's two different eras. It's not fair to answer the question, but I'm just asking you for your opinion. Do you like his style more than Anderson Silva? Because, man, the similarities, you know, and when you compare both ninjas, they're immense, right? Both are so elusive. Both are so exciting. But at the same time, Anderson Silva has that win streak that Israel Adesanya does not.
Yeah, I think the win streak is what's putting Anderson still slightly above Izzy for me, but he's not far, man. Another title defense or two, and it'd be hard to argue against, like, the work that he's been able to put in, avenging his only loss. It's right there for me. I've got Anderson ahead by a hair, but I think Israel with one or two more title defenses will be undeniable.
Now, how crazy is it that at a city kickboxing, we have two guys in the same camp with the same type of title reigns, just different weight classes, in the same category of the best ever in that division? You have Alex Volkanovski in the featherweight division saying, you know, it's arguable, is he the best featherweight to ever live? And it's the same category with Israel Adesanya. Is he the best middleweight to ever live? Both guys don't have the win streaks that Jose Aldo and Anderson Silva possess. But at the same time, when we talk about skill for skill, tat for tat, you know, all those different things where you build your fighter in your video game, I don't think you could build a better fighter realistically than Alex Volkanovski and Israel Adesanya. You know, it's just kind of crazy because it's rare to see two guys at one time at the same camp being in the same argument as the best ever in their weight divisions, right? Nuts stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the peak debate, like who's the best at their best, is very interesting, because I would probably at this time give those edges to Israel and to Alex over Anderson Silva and Aldo. But when you compare the body of work, that's where it becomes a little difficult to parse it out. And I feel like they're kind of on equal footing. But at their best, yeah, you're going to have a tough night beating Israel, and you're going to have a tough night beating Alex, to the point that I'd say that their peaks were higher.
It's fun stuff to talk about. It's cool that we actually get to live in this era and be able to talk about it. You know, we're not talking about Max Holloway anymore being the best featherweight ever to live, and he had that crazy great win streak. It kind of pisses me off because, you know, I love Max. He's going to be fighting the Korean Zombie over in Singapore in a few months from now. It's going to be a crazy fight. Some people have clowned Max and clowned the UFC, not clowned Max, but clowned the UFC for actually setting up a Korean Zombie against Max Holloway. Do you think that's a fun fight? Are you against this fight actually happening, or do you think that they should scrap this fight? You know, why should Korean Zombie get his ass kicked again to a guy like Max Holloway, right? He's already had his face rearranged, to Alex Volkanovski. Do you think this is the right path the UFC is giving the Korean Zombie and Max?
Yeah, I don't think it's a super competitive fight, if I'm being honest. It feels more like Max giving a gift to Korean Zombie, essentially to say, hey, I want to be your retirement fight and fight one of the legends of the game, but that gift is punching his face continually, which is not a great gift for anybody out there. So I'm not a huge fan of this booking. I've taken a lot of heat for suggesting that I'd much rather see Max Holloway fight Ilia Topuria. Many have flagged Ilia Topuria as the next title challenger at featherweight, and it seems like with the announcement that Charles Oliveira is going to be fighting Islam Makhachev and not Alexander Volkanovski, maybe that opens the path. Maybe they do find a way to go to Spain. Maybe they do figure out a way to get Max Holloway in there with Ilya. I don't expect that they'll break the booking between Holloway and Korean Zombie unless one of the two gets injured and things need to change. But if I had the pen, I probably wouldn't have booked that fight and would have gone another direction. But it's difficult. When Max has lost to Volkanovski three times, it becomes difficult to kind of place him in there amongst the contenders. But I like the Max and Ilya fight, although I know that many people will get upset that I said it.
We are talking to Eric Jackman, a.k.a. New York Rick. You could find him on Twitter at New York Rick, and he is also the social media director at MMAfighting.com. We are talking all about former champions. We are talking all about current champions. We're talking MMA. It's a great day to talk UFC and MMA today because we're talking about the top class of all MMA fighters. And I'm going to take it back just a little bit right here because we're going to talk about a former champion who lost this past weekend in Holly Holm. You know, she was a favorite going into this fight against Buena Silva, minus 150 to start. It climbed all the way to minus 175. People were saying if Buena Silva is going to win this fight, she's going to win it via submission, via knee bar. Nobody expected it to be, you know, a choke like she got, you know, a standing choke, a standing guillotine type of choke. And it's just like, holy smokes, there goes Holly Holm. She goes down. And it happened so quickly after she controlled the first round. Everybody thought that she was going to win the same type of fight that she is used to winning, you know, controlling the fight, winning this type of decision, the same type of fight that she beat against Raquel Pennington, in my opinion. But not the case. Holly Holm back to the drawing board, but she looked devastated in there after that loss. It's going to be hard to recover in my opinion, for Holly Holm after this loss, considering she still has championship aspirations. I think Holly Holm, in her mind, thinks to herself that she still has the skills and the hunger to be a champion in the division. I think she takes a major step back, not only physically, but mentally after that loss to Buena Silva. What do you think, Eric?
Yeah, I do think you're right to an extent that Holly Holm probably saw, hey, with Amanda Nunes gone, there's a real opportunity here for me. If I can win this fight, then I'm right in the title conversation. But I will say the division is pretty thin. Like, there, I don't know if this is the end for Holly Holm. If she wants to still continue to fight, I think she's competitive with all of the top bantamweights. And I do think she could win one or two more and be right back in that conversation. Just based on how thin the division is and how big a name she is compared to some of the other fighters in the division. But there's no doubt that this was a step backward, and there's no doubt that this was a step forward for Mayra Bueno Silva.
Why are we not seeing the same Holly Holm? And man, I might get some heat for this. I like Holly Holm. You know, I like her style, but every single time I say to myself, I love how Holly Holm fights, I'm thinking to myself, and I go back in my memory bank of her landing that huge head kick to Ronda Rousey, and just like the style that she did it in, the way that she walked into that fight, being the aggressor, attacking with her fist, throwing the leg kicks, completely throwing her opponent off balance. I feel like we haven't seen that Holly Holm since that Ronda Rousey fight, even going back to the Misha Tate fight where she actually got choked out, where it seemed like she just wanted to control the fight, you know, not finish the fight. I haven't seen a Holly want to finish a fight with that hunger since Ronda Rousey. You know, am I wrong for thinking this? If we get that same Holly Holm that went out, you know, on her sword against Ronda Rousey, you know what I mean? Forget about it. We're going to go out there and destroy Ronda. That type of mentality. I think that she could still be a champion, Eric. I really do. I just haven't seen her fight like that since.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong. I think she's found a little bit of a safer style in later years, a style that's a lot more like, point kickboxing heavy and clinch work against the cage that's keeping her safer. And in this case, it didn't work out for her because after a first round where she seemed to be in control, she opened herself up to a submission in the second. So I agree with you. I definitely feel like there's a little bit of a difference in terms of how hard she pushes for that finish. But it's been working for her, to be honest. Like, you know, she's been in all these fights against top bantamweight talent. And again, I think, you know, this might be a little bit of a hiccup. This might be a little bit of a bump in the road, but I really don't think it's hard for her to get back into the conversation if she still wants to fight, right? She's getting up there in years. She's now had a full long career in boxing and a full long career in MMA. If she walked away today, she'd be a Hall of Famer in both MMA and boxing. She's already in the Boxing Hall of Fame. She's all, in my opinion, a first ballot Hall of Famer for the UFC, and even if we had an MMA Hall of Fame. So she's got nothing left to prove. But if she wants to stick around, I don't think her path back to the title is as long as it might be in some other division. So I think she may give it one more go.
We are talking to New York Rick, a.k.a. Eric Jackman from MMAfighting.com. He is the man. We're talking about former champs. We're talking about champs. And now we're going to take a little step back and talk about the UFC Fight Night coming up in England this weekend. I only say we're taking a step back because there's no champions fighting on this card. And we've been literally talking about champions for about 20 minutes, man. So let's take a step back and just talk about the normal Joes. Talk about the killers in the UFC. Tom Aspinall headlining this card against Marcin Tybura. Tom Aspinall coming back from injury. He's had a layoff, and now he's back in the main event against Marcin. You know, what do you think of this card? Who do you like on this card? Who should we be watching out for, Eric?
Yeah, I know this card for the ticket buying fans in London was a little bit of a letdown. I've seen that sentiment online and been told that that's kind of the vibe. But when I look at this card for a fight night, it's a good card, man. Every single one of these fights has something that I'm interested in. At the top of it, you mentioned that we don't have any champions, but if I'm a betting man, I would have a ticket that says Tom Aspinall is a champion at some point in his career. I think that dude is for real. I think that dude is the complete package. I think he will be competing for UFC heavyweight championships throughout his career. And this could be another showcase fight for him. If it crescendos with him in the main event in London, finishing Marcin Tybura, the sky's the limit for him. And you'd have to think that alongside Sergei Pavlovich, Tom Aspinall is the name that's right on the tip of everybody's tongue as the next heavyweight contender for the championship.
Wow, big words right there, man. Book a ticket for Tom Aspinall to eventually become a champion at heavyweight in the next coming years. That's a hot take, and I'll take it, man. You know, that's just the way that it goes. And I love the Pavlovich. Yeah, absolutely. Is Pavlovich going to be the next champion, do you think, in the heavyweight division? Do you think he takes down whoever he has to take down at the time that he fights for the belt? What do you think?
It depends. It depends on who's there. I mean, a lot's up in the air. We've got the heavyweight title fight between John Jones and Stipe Miocic coming in November. I could see a scenario where John Jones wins that and both he and Stipe walk away, and all of a sudden the path is clear for Sergey Pavlovich. I think if it was a fight with John Jones, he's not completely out of it. I'd still probably favor Jones, but I don't think he's completely out of it in any capacity. The power that dude's got is for real. And it seems like his time right now. So, yeah, he's another one that I'm thinking will hold UFC gold at some point in the near future. Will it be John Jones, though, I think is the big question. I'm not sure if he'll ultimately end up getting that fight. But it's also not out of the question. If John goes out there and beats Stipe Miocic, it seems like that's the next fight, right? Or do they do a title eliminator? Do they do, let's say, Tom Aspinall successful this weekend? Do they do Tom Aspinall versus Sergey Pavlovich and the next one gets the title shot? I think all of those are in play. So it's an exciting time at heavyweight. It's finally moving. I'm excited to see what happens with Jones and Miocic, and then from there, who the next contenders are going to be.
The John Jones effect is completely on. You said the heavyweight division is exciting. Again, I agree with you. I think John Jones being, you know, the champion and being in that division right now speaks wonders for it, considering now can John Jones beat, you know, all these guys that we just talked about, Aspinall, Pavlovich, Stipe Miocic, because if he does, I think he will be considered the greatest MMA fighter to ever live, and it won't even be really close, even talking about, you know, his past history and how tainted it is, you know, for the people that want to talk about that. Because the heavyweight division is not like any other division in the UFC. It's unlike any other MMA fight in the UFC. Heavyweight is just different, man. And when you talk to the fighters who are in the division, they'll tell you the same thing. They'll say that fighting at heavyweight is unlike any other game in MMA. It's a brand new game. It just takes one shot and you will go down sleeping. So it's just, it's a different monster when you fight at that weight class. You know, we are less than 2 weeks. Actually, I take that back. We're getting there. July 29th, UFC 291, Dustin Poirier, Justin Gaethje, part two. Before I get you out of here, man, I got to get your quick picks for this fight. I know it's early, but you know what? Sometimes natural selection without overthinking it is the best way to go. So I'm just going to ask you these things, and we're just going to go rapid fire for you right now, man. Does Derek Lewis get back on the winning streak against Marcos Rogelio de Lima at UFC 291?
No, he does not. I think Marcos wins that fight.
Does Michel Pereira at plus 170 continue his hot streak against Stephen Thompson? Michel Pereira is a fighter that likes to do backflips in the octagon when they're fighting. This guy is crazy.
I think Wonderboy edges that one. I like Wonderboy in it, but at dog money, it's not a bad play if you're a better out there.
A fight that many people are looking forward to is Kevin Holland and Michael Chiesa. Kevin Holland, very elusive, loves to stop burglars out on the streets. Doesn't matter where he is. He's like Batman out there. If there's crime, Kevin Holland is taking you down. But this time he's fighting a guy who's actually really nice and doesn't commit crime. Michael Chiesa, who do you have in this fight, Holland or Chiesa?
Yeah, I'd favor Holland. I think he's on the climb right now. I think his striking and grappling is going to be more than enough to compete with Chiesa. I think he's just going to be a little bit ahead on the feet. If it gets into a grappling match, he's more than capable there, as we've seen. So I like Kevin Holland here.
A fight for the fans, a fan favorite type of fight. Bobby Green takes on El Cucuy Tony Ferguson. What a fight. How about this one, man? That's a fun fight for the fans. I urge people not to bet on this fight, considering I don't know who could possibly have the edge in this fight. Eric, who do you like in this fight, man? This one's fun.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a fun striking battle. I think we're going to get what we want out of it. Both of those guys know how to put on a show, but I'm going to favor Green in this. I think Tony's time as a UFC contender and fighting guys that are ranked or close to being ranked is over. And I think Bobby Green's going to edge this fight. I think he'll just be busier on the feet, land the shots that count, and that'll put Tony on a pretty rough losing skid.
We get to the co-main event, the event many people are waiting for, Alex Pereira back in the octagon, but not at middleweight. The former champion now goes and fights Jan Blachowicz at light heavyweight. Pereira is at plus 100. Jan is at minus 120. Who do you like in this fight? People that go up in weight, they don't usually do very well against Jan.
Yeah, this is one of the hardest fights to call. I really don't know where to go with it because I know that Alex carries power and it can go up to light heavyweight. He's shown that in kickboxing. He's been a champion in kickboxing in this weight class. So I know the power is going to be there, but I do feel like the size for Jan is going to be a factor. He's a very thick, heavy type fighter. And he's just solid. I'm gonna slightly lean Jan, but man, if Alex nuked him like he does to pretty much everybody else, I would not be surprised.
Crazy fight, man. I was hesitant. I almost stopped myself from saying Alex Pereira, their former champion, because I thought to myself, wait a second, did he actually win the championship? And I thought to myself, yeah, he did. He knocked out Israel Adesanya. The speed that he actually went up in the division. You know, how fast he started with the UFC and the amount of fights he actually took and then to get to the title shot and knock out Izzy, it's crazy, right? It's crazy because it made me hesitate. I almost forgot that he was a UFC champion, Eric. I really did. I was about to stop myself and say, oh, I got to edit that part out. Never mind, man. He was the middleweight champion of the world, but he was also decrowned just like that. Isn't that nuts?
It is, and to be honest, this feels like almost like a number one contender fight at light heavyweight. So he could be competing for that belt if he gets it done here too. So it would be a very fast rise for somebody to potentially compete for two belts.
Eric, this feels like a title fight, bro. A title fight. I almost said it's a title fight, and it's not, man. Oh, this is crazy. I can't wait for this fight. And now the main event, Dustin Poirier, Justin Gaethje. It's going to be fireworks. Dustin Poirier has already beat him once. But if you guys go rewatch this fight, oh man, it's going to be fireworks. Again, it's going to be hard to pick a side and be comfortable picking that side because Justin Gaethje almost won that fight the first time as well. But that's just how Justin Gaethje fights goes, man. That's how his fights go. Who do you like in this fight? Does Poirier go 2-0 or does Gaethje tie it up 1-1?
Yeah, the first fight was an absolute war. Do yourself a favor. If you haven't seen it, go see it. As far as this one goes, I think both have gotten a little smarter, a little more well-rounded, and a little bit safer. By no means do I think this is going to be a boring fight. I think this is going to be an absolute back-and-forth type fight, but they are just so much more technical now. Justin Gaethje is not just waiting in there winging shots and throwing those leg kicks. He's a much more patient and technical fighter, and the same can be said for Dustin Poirier. He's really found his groove in terms of picking shots and figuring out when to finish people. I ultimately think it's going to be a little too much, Dustin, and we're going to see a repeat. I think Dustin's going to be able to get it done, and I wouldn't be surprised if he's able to finish Gaethje again. Dustin, when he smells blood, he knows what time it is, and I think it's going to favor Dustin.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. Eric Jackman, we just went rapid fire with him, got his UFC 291 picks, got his pick for UFC London coming up this weekend, and we recapped the champions of the UFC and the biggest news of the week. Man, Eric, time flies by. I can't believe that we just chatted for 30 minutes and we broke down the MMA scene. You are the best. Thank you for coming on Hit the Bell, bro. It's a pleasure, like always.
My pleasure, and really good to reconnect.
Again, fans, you can find Eric at New York Rick on Twitter. Again, that's at New York Rick, and he is the social media director at MMAfighting.com. All right, guys, we will be back with Punahele Soriano, UFC middleweight, steps back in the Hit the Bell cage with me right after this. Puna's going to tell us what happened with his accidental concussion that took place at Extreme Couture the week of Fight Week, man, and he's going to talk all about what happened to him and what's going to be in his future plans with the UFC. He needs a fight. He's looking for a fight. Dana White signed Puna up. He jumps on Hit the Bell next. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Hit the Bell with Matias Burbell on the Sports Grid Radio Network.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
You're listening to Hit the Bell with Matias Burbell on the Sports Grid Radio Network.
What's up, fight fans? Welcome back to Hit the Bell with me, Matias Burbell. It is time for a story, because story time, Punahele Soriano joins Hit the Bell, old friend of the show, UFC middleweight, gets back in the cage, in the Hit the Bell cage. What's going on, Puna? Welcome, my friend.
Yeah, thank you. I'm glad to be here. Thank you for having me. Always an honor to be on.
Oh, man, it's an honor to have you on, bro. It's not that many times I get to talk to a magnificent UFC middleweight with a powerful punch, you know, with a kind heart like yours, who is brutal with his fists. And that is you, Puna. I always look forward to watching you fight.
Thank you so much, man. That means a lot. Honestly, like, I'm so self-conscious when I speak. I feel like I'm just super self-conscious about when I speak. And
Nah, bro, there's no reason to be self-conscious, man. And I'm sure all your friends are going to tell you the same thing. Dude, you're a breath of fresh air. And that's honest, man. The whole thing, even when you were walking into the cage to fight Brendan Allen and you ran into the cage, you're kind of giving that whole, like, intimidation look. Well, you know, pretty much, yeah, I'm ready for violence. You flipped the switch. Man, you still broke character. You even cracked a smile. It's like, oh, crap, I can't believe I just did that. Bro, that's so human and so genuine. Because at the end of the day, man, we've been alive on this earth long enough to know that not everything goes to plan. And that right there didn't go to plan, but you still made it feel good, look good. It was funny. It was natural. That's who Puna Soriano is, man. He could also turn off your lights when you're not prepared. Just ask Oscar Pichota about that one.
Oh, man. Yeah, for sure. It was funny. Like, the main response I got from running into that fence was like, that was such a you thing. That was such a Puna thing to have happen, and yada, yada.
Yeah, but you know what? That's what makes you, and that's why we keep tuning into your fights, man. We were all tuned in to watch you fight at UFC Jacksonville, you know, less than a month ago against Cendric Dumas. But unfortunately, your bout was canceled at the last second. I wanted to get you on. I want to talk about that fight. What happened? Why didn't we see you fight in the cage? Not many people know about that, man. Cendric Dumas ended up getting the victory, you know, that week. Not against you, obviously, but I'm sure it was pretty tough to actually watch that fight card sitting from the couch at home, knowing that you should be in there kicking some ass.
Yeah, shout out to him for winning. That was awesome, good for him. But I don't think I actually watched their fight until like later in the afternoon or in the evening. I was just like so sad. I tried to watch it for a second and I was like, no, I'm turning it off. I'm too sad right now. But Monday before fight week, I'm grappling. I kind of get ran into by another group of guys going near us, kind of get like soccer kicked in the head. And then I just like go home and I'm like, oh, I feel silly. And just like had a light brain injury, but back to it. We're ready. We're healthy. And making our way to our return slowly.
Dude, I got to ask you about this a little bit more. You know why? Because I don't actually talk to many fighters that are coming off of an injury prior to a big fight. Like, what's that process like? You know, what's it like, you know, preparing for a fight for so long and then all of a sudden, you know, you get kicked in the head and that opportunity just gets taken away from you. All those, you know, all those weeks of real preparation, all the months of psychological warfare from, you know, finding the fighter to signing the contract. And then all of a sudden, bang, just like that. It's like, oh, my God, am I going to be able to fight this weekend? You know, did you know right away when you got kicked in the head in the gym that that's it? Like, I'm probably not going to fight this weekend. Or were you kind of praying, like, hopefully the scan comes back clean, I'm not concussed? Or did you know right away, bro?
So I didn't really know right away. I just knew it was a pretty bad hit. Like, yeah, I knew it was a pretty bad hit and like kind of went off to the side, whatever, composed myself and finished the practice. And then it was when I went home and like my endorphins and everything went down is when I started to like feel it. And then that's when I knew, I was like, oh, that's not good. Like, and the hardest part was probably the 3 or 4 days prior to it, just because, you know, the news hadn't broke yet, and we're still trying to decide if, like, we're going to push through, fight anyway with it, or, you know, what the deal was. But that was the only thing that was stressful. Once we made the decision to call it, cancel it, it was weight off my shoulder. You know, the way I was looking at it is I did all the right things. I got so much better this camp. I improved a lot of skills, a better mindset, better everything all around, full spectrum. You know, that was my job, to get better. And just a freak incident took me out. Nothing I can really do about it. And that's just kind of how I see it.
We are talking to Punahele Soriano. Some people know him as Storytime. Some people know him as Puna. He is a UFC middleweight. He's ready to jump back in the octagon. Whenever the UFC allows him to get back in the octagon, he's coming back from a concussion. He was supposed to fight at UFC Jacksonville against Cedric Dumas, but was kicked in the head at practice and was bowed out of that fight. Now he is on Hit the Bell, and we're going through the whole entire process. We're going through all the motions, and we're letting it all loose right now with Puna. How does your employer, how does the UFC take care of you in these types of instances? How, you know, what did, when you told them that you weren't going to fight, you had a concussion, did they just take you off the fight card right away? Did they get you the doctors? Do they say come to the UFC PI? How do they help you in this situation? Or do they just pretty much say, nope, you're not fighting this weekend, I hope you get better?
Before we even made the call, we were kind of working with the UFC staff, kind of under wraps, like just in that little brief period, we were trying to figure out what we were doing, you know, whether we're fighting or not. They were working with me hands-on, doing everything they could to help me feel better, kind of mitigate the symptoms. And once we made the decision, it was easy, you know. They're only looking for the best interest of their fighters. They don't want any of their fighters having long-lasting or serious injuries. So it was easy for them. They found a replacement, and it was just smooth sailing.
No, that's great to hear, man. That's great to hear, because some people think that, you know, some a fighter's, you know, he's lost two fights in a row. He gets injured before the fight. Next thing you know, the fighter's cut. We see a lot of fans go on there and say, oh, you know, the UFC, blah, blah, blah. So I just wanted to clear up the air with people that are listening. And it's like, this is actually what happens when you get hurt, you know, before a fight, on fight week. You know, you're not, you know, the UFC's going to try to help you out. They're going to tell you what you should be doing. And they're never going to put you in danger. And with this is the type of information that we need to get out to the people so they actually understand, you know, how the process actually goes, you know, when you're going through this fight camp and when accidents do happen. You know, is there a guy right now that you actually have an eye on to actually get back in the octagon with, or do you want to run it back, or do you want to run it, I guess you could say, with Cedric Dumas, since you guys actually never ran it to begin with, and he's off of a victory now, and you're coming off of a loss prior to that fight? So what do you want? What are you thinking? Are you thinking about any of this right now?
Honestly, not really. My whole mindset for the last over a month has just been on recovery, and I haven't put thought into who I could come back against. As far as a rematch or redate with Dumas, I don't care. Yeah, but it doesn't matter to me. I'm never one to pick names. Whoever they put me up against is who they put me up against. I just look forward to being the bad draw. You know, I want to be the guy that when my name comes across them, they're like, oh man, that sucks.
You're always a tough fight, Puna. You're always a tough fight because you hit like a tank, and that's never going to change until you turn about 50 years old. And you know, you're not the same young man that you are right now. You know, that's fact right there, my friend. You know, looking at your UFC record right now, you're 3-3 in the UFC. You know, either your fireworks or a little injury happens, you're not finishing the fight strong, you're kind of finishing it off on your back. As you said, you were really excited to get in the octagon, you were working on a lot of different things. You know, are you still relying on that punch power, or have you opened up your game a little bit more? You know, we saw against Kopalov, that's where you kind of took a little step back, in my opinion, where Kopalov looked very comfortable in there, and you were kind of swimming a little bit. So I was really excited to see you back in there against Dumas after the improvements that you've made, because you have all the potential in the world to be a middleweight champion, or to be, you know, a top notch dog in the middleweight division. Are there some areas in your game where you thought, I need to improve in this area drastically if I want to be who I want to be?
Yeah, no, for sure. One of the biggest things we worked on this camp was switching up my target. I mean, everyone knows I'm like mainly a headhunter. I'm going to try and put you out in a violent fashion. But we worked on switching up our targets this camp. And you know, switching up my targets oddly helped me become a better headhunter. I don't know how, but in whatever way, it kind of open up the headshots a little more when you're switching up your targets.
Headhunting Puna. No, I love it, man. I love it. You know, let's take it back a little bit. Let's go back old school. Let's take it back to day one. You know, when did you start MMA? When did you want to be an MMA fighter? And where are you from? You know, forget all this. You're not even from Las Vegas. That's where you reside. Where are you from, and what made you want to become a fighter?
Yeah, I was born and raised in Wailua, Hawaii. Went to Kuku High School. Kind of just always had the idea of fighting, and I didn't even know what it truly meant. But even in my preschool, I went to a preschool in Haleiwa called KQ Haleiwa, and I wrote a paper or whatever. You know, I'm pretty sure I was telling my parents what to say. I don't even think I could write at that time, but I wrote a paper on how I want to be a boxer. And, you know, so I guess from that time to it gradually turned into an MMA fighter, and just kind of always wanted to be in the UFC my whole life. Or like, and I actually have like receipts to back that up. It's kind of funny.
That's awesome. And that's awesome that you wanted to become a professional boxer. Did you watch boxing when you were a kid? When we were young kids, were you watching Oscar De La Hoya? Were you watching Floyd Mayweather? Or were you just watching your older cousins, you know, box in the backyard on Thanksgiving dinner? You know, where did that come from?
A mixture of all of it. You know, I don't really remember a specific boxer at a young age, but as I got older, I really remember watching a lot of Roy Jones, Mike Tyson. But it was more so my dad, who was just super into boxing or the fighting spirit. And, like, that's kind of what he would say to me. He'd kind of weirdly instill, like, a fighting spirit into me at a young age. Every day we'd, like, watch a movie or something. He'd be like, you know, you got the you got the biggest heart. You're a warrior. You never quit. And it's, like, kind of funny to think back of it now. But, I feel like that probably really made a difference.
No, that does make a difference, man. Absolutely. That's where the belief comes from. That's where the confidence comes from. You know, when somebody that you care about deeply, that's very honest with you, tells you, you know, what you are and what you can become, it's only motivating. You know, my father told me from day one when I wanted to become a soccer player, it's like, if you want to become a soccer player, you're damn good, but you have to lose, you know, you have to lose some weight. You can't be a fat boy that plays soccer and you know, you got to run, and you have to like to run, you have to enjoy running, and you have to enjoy hard work. Mm-hmm. And those are the types of things that, you know, as a kid, you know, stood out to me. It's just like, you put it in your little notebook. It's like, this is what I have to do. This is a checklist that I have to go through. And fortunately for you, your dad told you great things from day one, because that's how good you actually were. And that's why you're in the UFC right now, Puna. That's why you wrestled in college and everything, man. And it's crazy because you said that you love boxing growing up. You know, is that your favorite form? Is that what you enjoy doing the most, is boxing? Or do you like wrestling the most? Because you're an outstanding wrestler as well.
Yeah, it honestly probably just depends on when you ask me this question. Because, you know, you could see my fighting style and probably think the first one, but recently, I've been falling back in love with wrestling and just having more fun with it in the practice room. It's not so much of a chore. It's something I look forward to. And I think that's just been me getting back to the basics and technique and what drew me into it in the first place. So
I went to a school called Wartburg College. They're kind of like the powerhouse of D3 wrestling.
And what do you say to the people that say, oh, Division I, Division III wrestlers, you know, there's a big gap? I kind of find that all to be nonsense. I think that there's some Division III wrestlers that just couldn't go to Division I simply because maybe their grades weren't good enough. Maybe they wanted to stay home. They wanted to stay closer to home. There's so many different reasons while people decide to go to different schools. What do you say to the people that say, oh, Division III, Division II, if you don't wrestle at Division I, that means you're not that good? At the end of the day, is wrestling just wrestling?
Yeah, I think wrestling is just wrestling, and that's the whole mindset behind wrestling. Is it doesn't matter who you're facing, what you're going up against, you just got to face it head on and scrap. And I feel like the biggest testament to that could be Aljo fighting Henry. You know, Henry's a Olympic gold medalist, and Aljo's a D3 wrestler as well, and he took him down.
Man, there's talent all over the place. And the one thing that I actually learned is, as long as you're still getting on the mat, as long as you're still getting playing time, no matter what you're doing, no matter where you're playing or who you're playing for, playing and getting in there in the action is always going to be, you know, the most important thing to athletics, right? Is just participation at a high, intense level, competing at a high level.
Oh, for sure. And you don't even realize, unfortunately, a lot of people don't even realize that until it's too late, until it's over. And then they're like, oh, man, that's all I want to do.
No, it is, right? It is, playing is always going to be the most important thing. That is for sure. Wrestling or fighting, is, you know, getting game time action is always the most important thing to do, man. I'm excited to actually see you back in the cage soon. It's time for you to get some game time action, man. The last time I saw you get a knockout was in New York, man, over Dalcha. And what a knockout that was, man. That was a special one, man. You've had some knockouts, Puno. You've had Pete Chota. You've had Todorovic. You've had Dalcha. Man, which one of those knockouts do you think about the most, man? Because as a fighter, man, do you ever have like flashbacks of these knockouts that you have and these victories that you have, or do you remember the sour times more?
You know, I do definitely think about the positive times, and I do think about the sour times too, but I try to find the positives in those sour times, you know, like my good moments in those fights. But the fight that stands out to me the most is probably the Dalcha fight. Just, I don't know, you know, it meant a lot to me, that fight. And I had a lot of fun. And every time I look at Dalcha, all I can think of is, I can't believe I beat that guy. He's freaking scary. So I'm like,
no, he's huge. I loved your celebration afterwards, man. Your celebration was pure, bro. It was pure adrenaline. It was pure excitement. It was pure emotion, man. And that's the best part about you, man. You always wear your emotions on your sleeve after your fights, man. You're so happy after you get those victories. And I can't wait to see you back in there, Puna. You know, you're fighting at Extreme Couture. That's the gym that you represent. You got Eric Nixick in your corner. You have great MMA fighters all around that gym pushing you, motivating you, all that good stuff. Francis and Anu, he just recently got a major, major boxing deal. Everybody thought he wasn't going to be able to get the deal done. He left the UFC. You know, he fumbled the bag, right? He fumbled the bag. Well, turns out, you know, very recently he signed that boxing deal to fight Tyson Fury, man. How crazy was that? Do you have an opinion on him actually locking down that deal against Fury, a guy that's coming out of your gym?
Oh, dude, that was insane. And the craziest part, I think, is just the fact that, like, no one even knew. No one in the gym really knew. Like, he just kind of kept it to himself, believed in himself. And I think everybody should look at that situation and just, you know, believe in, like, self-belief and having, like, that clear image of who you are. Because that's what he did, and look how well it worked out.
Did you think he was going to get that done? Or was it like when he told you finally, it's like, hey, I got that Tyson Fury fight. Were you surprised or were you like, yeah, I expected it?
I was surprised, but only because he signed that PFL deal. And I kind of just thought that meant all signs of the boxing fight was over. So that's my only reason. I wasn't doubting Francis if he hears this.
No, hell no. No doubt against Francis whatsoever, man. This is just some truth to everything, man. You never know. Guys who are in the gym, like you said, he signed the deal with the PFL, and right there and then, you just think he's going to be fighting with the PFL. Right now, Francis is like a massive, massive underdog. Do you think that he could actually beat Fury? But it seems like the whole world thinks Fury's going to knock him out, which is kind of crazy, right? We're talking about one of the baddest men in the planet in Francis Ngannou. There's always a chance.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, there's nothing I can put past Francis. Like, a lot of people were unprivileged to see this, but when he was getting ready for the Stipe fights, I remember him wrestling a ton in the room, and just, like, how quickly, like, his wrestling just excelled and got better. So I'm sure once he focuses his mind on strictly boxing, you're going to see just how quickly and rapidly he excels in that. It's insane. This guy is like a scientifically, genetically produced person.
Hey, man, if there's a better reason, you know, to bet Francis Ngannou right now to win the fight, you just said it, his ability to adapt in situations. And right now he has to adapt pretty quickly because he's going to be fighting the heavyweight champion of the world, you know, the best boxer on planet Earth. But man, but what better opportunity and what better person to take on this challenge other than Francis Ngannou, man? I had to get your take on it considering that you guys are teammates. I needed to get like your opinion on the flow around the gym, man, and I'm so happy that you gave it to us, Puna. Well, all right, ladies and gentlemen, we have been talking to Puna Hele Soriano. He will be fighting eventually because what happened in his previous bout against Henrique Dumas, he was bowed out of his fight with a concussion. And now he is waiting to see who he will fight next. He is back from this concussion. He is back in the gym. And he actually was in the gym today training for the first time, man. Tell everybody how training was today. First day back after the big concussion recovery, man. How was everything today in the gym?
Oh, it was great. Super grateful to be back in. You know, I was kind of losing my mind a little bit at home, just on the couch, watching everyone get better, watching people get fight. So just to be in the gym was 1,000 times better than anything for me, truly.
Well, you know what? The wait is done, Puna, and now we just have to wait for the UFC and the management team to get you a fight, and the countdown is on for your next bout, my friend. Thanks a lot for joining Hit the Bell. I can't wait to have you back on again, and when we do have you back on again, I know that we're going to have a fight scheduled for you, and we're going to be previewing your upcoming bout, man. Thank you so much for joining Hit the Bell. It's been a pleasure, like always.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. Always a pleasure, like you said. Yeah. Thank you so much. Hope you guys have a good one.
And after this, we will be having some best bets. Wimbledon is over, but don't worry, guys. We got a little tennis and a lot of big pick.
Hi, guys. Here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil, like a lot of it. Yep, that's good. Then I stare at a red light. It's the kind that helps your cells positively glow. Oh, wow, really bright. Okay. Next, I take an ice bath. That's how you melt your fat and fix your, I don't know, other stuff. Ooh, yep, feeling super healthy. Can't fit my toes. Breakfast is raw liver. Okay, here we go. Oh, real good.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at cygnos.com. That's Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
It's coming for this upcoming weekend. All that and more on Hit the Bell with me, Matias Burbell. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Hit the Bell with Matias Burbell on the Sports Grid Radio Network.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to Hit the Bell with me, Matias Burbell. Last segment of the show. Big thank you to Eric Jackman from MMAfighting.com and UFC middleweight Puna Hele Soriano for joining the show today. Love catching up with those guys. Love to hear that Puna is back in the gym, recovering from his concussion, ready for his upcoming fight, whoever that will be. Can't wait to see Puna back in there. Man, that guy is a stud. Lots of punch power. Nice guy. A guy that everybody should follow if you guys love MMA. You know, he's one of a kind. And also, Eric Jackman, go follow him on Twitter, at New York Rick. Eric has been covering MMA for a very long time, man. And he knows the ins and the outs of the game. I loved his opinions. I loved his rapid fire. I loved his picks. Can't wait to chat with Eric again. Man, the show always comes and goes every single week, and it's so fun to produce it. It's so fun to hit up the guests and find who's going to be on the show this week. You know, next week, more fire guests like always. But unfortunately, Wimbledon is over. I told you guys last week that we were going to finish strong on the grass, and we did. Carlos Alcaraz won Wimbledon. +200, dropped down to +180 prior to the game starting. He beats Djokovic in a five-set thriller. Just an absolutely stunning match. Guys, keep watching Carlos Alcaraz. Keep watching all of his matches. Follow his journey, because when it's all over, it's going to be sad. We're going to be sad. I'll be about 10 to 15 years older than what I am now, maybe even older, depending on Carlos Alcaraz and the longevity of his career. But I urge you guys to watch him play. He is so fun to watch, and it's a joy to watch a guy like that play, because he plays with so much joy, you know. And that's the best part of watching sports, is when somebody is performing at a high level and doing it with so much joy. You know, it's just fun to watch, and it's great for the viewer as well. You know, that Wimbledon final was something I'll never forget for a long time, you know, until I probably see another major final with Alcaraz in it, because every single time he's in it, you know it's going to be special. And that's what Alcaraz is. He is special. Djokovic said it after the match, that he's never played anybody like Alcaraz before. He is a hybrid player like Federer, like Nadal, and Djokovic all put together. You know, he has the best qualities of each player. He's like Thanos, man. He has all the stones, and he just needs to clench his fist, and it's over. That's what it's like watching Alcaraz, and it's just so crazy because he's so young, and he's only getting better. You know, the sky is truly the limit for this kid. Keep watching him in the upcoming major. For all you guys in New York City, get tickets for the U.S. Open, because he's going to show up and he's going to take that tournament again. I really do think so. I think the only thing that takes a tournament away from Alcaraz is injuries. You know, injuries do happen, and they happen quickly in tennis. You know, one bad step here, one bad step there, you hurt your hamstring, you hurt your calf, you hurt your forearm, and you're done. So enjoy Alcaraz, like I said, for as long as we possibly can. Big tournaments going on right now all over Europe. I like a winner right now, and I think there's some value with Andrei Rublev to win the Bastad tournament at plus 397. I think Andrei Rublev ended Wimbledon in fine fashion. The guy's been playing great tennis for the last month now. Now we go back to the clay. He's a good clay player, a very powerful clay player. And, you know, who does he have to worry about on this field is Alexander Zverev and Casper Ruud. And I know Casper Ruud, you know, is kind of the prince of clay outside of Carlos Alcaraz and Nadal. He comes from the Rafa Nadal Academy. So Casper Ruud is a guy to watch out for at plus 189. But, you know, the value is plus 189, really value there. It's going to be tough. Casper Ruud fell early at Wimbledon, so he hasn't played a lot of tennis. You know, he looked great today against an opponent that he should beat. But again, Andrei Rublev at plus 397, I think, is the way to go right now. Both those players in the final, I'll take it. But Andrei Rublev plus 397, let's go. That's my tennis pick for the week. That's my tennis future for the week. Look out for Rublev to win this tournament. All right, guys, big fights coming up for UFC London. Yeah, it's happening. Free fights, ESPN Plus, UFC Fight Night. Tom Aspinall, Marcin Tybura. Look for Aspinall to finish this fight and finish this fight early. I think he starts off with a bang after his injury. Take the under 1.5. Also, Molly McCann, minus 200. I know the value's not there. She gets this fight done, and she's going to do it in stunning fashion as well. I like Molly McCann to win this fight. I like Nathaniel Wood, to win his fight. And Paul Craig at plus 180. I like Paul Craig at plus 180 to submit Andre Munez from his back. That's right. I know that's a crazy gamble. I know that's a crazy bet, but it wouldn't be the first time I see Paul Craig win a fight from his back. I expect him to do it again. Also, Jay Herbert, plus 140 in England. I'm taking that. Jay Herbert at plus 140 over Fares Zeham. Also, Davy Grant, plus 120 over Daniel Marcos. I like the value with Davy Grant, but I also like the over 1.5 in this fight. Davy Grant is a tough son of a gun. I know that Daniel Marcos is 14-0, but it doesn't matter. I think Davy Grant takes this to the distance. I also think he wins this fight. Look for Davy to make some noise. Davy Grant, let's go. England, make some noise. I like the English guys in this fight. Jay Herbert, English, plus 140. Leron Murphy, minus 150. British, I'm taking it. Nathaniel Wood, British, minus 205. Are you guys feeling it? The British fever is here, and I'm rolling with the Brits at UFC Fight Night London. Let's go. All right, guys, we're back next week, UFC 291. We're going to talk to some fighters. We're going to give another big time preview, and we're going to make some big bets for UFC 291 in Salt Lake City, Utah. Dustin Poirier and Justin Gaethje, part dos. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that is it for me. We will be back next week. Let's go. And if you want to find me on Twitter, at HitBurbell, and also Sports Rage Late Night every single night except Saturdays from 9 p.m. to midnight. We rock and roll for 3 hours, six nights a week. Check us out, SiriusXM channel 159. Let's roll, guys. We'll catch you guys next week. Aloha. I'm hot, they all know me.